Hi there, I'm Belinda from 2SER, and today I'll be interviewing Richard James Allen. He's an award-winning Australian poet, author, filmmaker, and performer whose work blends storytelling, philosophy, and the performing arts. He's joining me today to talk about his upcoming book, which has already been released, More Lies, a genre-bending, thought-provoking new work that's as playful as it is profound. So, hi, Richard, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm very well, Belinda. Thanks for having me on 2SERFM.
Yeah, oh my God, I'm so excited to have you here. So, okay, let's get started. Sorry.
Yeah, let's get started. Ask away.
Amazing. Okay, so the title More Lies is quite intriguing. Can you explain why you chose that title in particular?
Gee, that's a really great. I love these sort of questions, and they give me
Mm-hmm.
more lies because in the world and in the book, there are more and more and more and more and more lies.
I love that take. Amazing. All right, so there's a real mix of styles in this book, part mystery, part poetry, part philosophical. How'd that come about?
Yeah, look, it's really interesting. I think I sort of started writing it as a kind of a gumshoe thriller sort of thing, but
Yeah.
then it just kind of morphed naturally. And I think that it took a long time to write, and over the years it kept evolving and changing. And I think in the end, if it started out as a kind of a single genre, it became sort of multi-genre, multi-directional, multi-layered. And that's so in the course of, in a way, exploring all those different lies and truths, I found myself exploring different genres and forms and media.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty indicative of what life actually is too. So I think that's a really interesting way to go with like writing anything. So yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, I think that, as much as anyone else, I like to cuddle up with a nice Netflix series that makes me feel like everything is okay.
Oh
But when
yeah,
I
for
look
sure.
outside the window or I look at the news, I'm like, this world is absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah.
And maybe art should reflect that.
Definitely. I mean, that's why art's there, right? You get the best
Yeah.
of everything that's going on and also a little bit of commentary on the worst.
Exactly. So to me, it's a window on, our minds, which are all over the place, our worlds, which are all over the place. It's not a neat, tidy package because that's not how I experience anything.
Exactly. That's not the human experience. I wouldn't be honest then. That'd be
Exactly.
more
So,
lies.
yeah, more.
All right, so your narrator talks directly to the reader a lot. It almost feels like we're inside his head. So what made you want to break that fourth wall?
Well, I think, yeah, it was a real choice because, mostly if you have a novel form, I mean, mostly, but mostly you sort of, telling a story. I have to say that I find it really hard to read novels because I absolutely hate the first page. I hate the first page of novels where they go, and the sun was setting and he took his cart and rode along. And I'm like, for sake, when you get
No,
onto
but I
what's
totally
really
agree.
going.
I do the same in bookstores. I'm like, oh my God.
I was just like, let's just jump into the meat of the action, which is
Yeah.
actually, interestingly, in its own way, not that I'm a huge Hemingway fan, but Hemingway was all about jump in at the last possible moment. So I'm
Yeah.
kind of like jumping into the crisis and into the mind and into the direct relationship, which I want to build between the speaker and the reader and just be there,
Yeah, I love that. And you're also a filmmaker and a performer. Did your experience in those fields shape how you approach writing this book or even creating the audiobook?
Yeah, totally. Because the book is very performative. I mean, it's a novel, but at certain points I thought, should it be a film? Should it be a play? And I think it has potential to adapt into those forms. I've done a lot of work where I write a text and it gets adapted. So there's that. There's also, the voice of the narrator is very performative. It's a kind of a performance act. It's kind of addressing the reader in a very sort of intimate way that you might, if you were on a stage or if you were directly looking down the barrel, like in Fleabag, and talking to the audience. So I think that, yeah, those sort of elements are there. But also, it's just like this book has so many references to so many layers of so many genres and forms and writers, and but also filmmakers and theater writers. So it's kind of like imbued with a highly cinematic sensibility and a highly theatrical sensibility, as well as a, I don't want to say it's not literary, because, I was actually com kind of making a list of all the authors that I feel like I owe some debt to, and it's a
Oh.
huge number because it's kind of like a kind of homage to this linguistic space as well. So
Yeah. Amazing. And also about the book itself, would you like to tell us a bit about what it is and why people should read it?
well, what it is it's a fabulous work. Everyone should read
Yeah,
it.
I agree.
Okay. I
Highly
mean, that's
agree.
obvious,
But other than
right?
that,
Other than that, look, I think it's interesting because I think the work is highly playful. I hope it's funny and witty and kind of takes you off guard and makes your head spin. But I also think that it has some really, I believe some very profound things to say, but it's sort of not up to me to say that now, but in a way, it feels very, very timely in an era where so many people seem to just believe what they're told. In a way, I think this book is like a textbook for Storyaholics Anonymous. It's like to stop you being addicted to stories that
yep.
you're told, because this book is kind of making you think about how you just believe things.
Yeah.
And then you don't really consider them. And that there's a lot of, tropes in storytelling, and obviously politics, there's so many things we're just told and we believe them. And why do we believe them? Because, a few years later, they're like, well, that was crap. We built our whole world based on, I mean, we built literally a whole world based on the idea that, everything should keep growing. It was a huge idea. I always thought that was a stupid idea. I mean, how could that possibly work? I mean, there's one planet, so that kind of idea that, or the market is always right, or whatever, these sort of ideas that people just believe, they're not, especially in the book, but, why do we believe those ideas and why do we let our lives be governed by them? So in a way, I think the book is a, actually, this book is a public service to help people detox from their kind of addiction to storytelling and believing things without really thinking them through. How
You
about
know,
that?
that is exactly what we need. This is perfect for this time, honestly.
I do feel like it's my gift, Bloom, to the
I love that so much. That should be your tagline.
world.
My gift to the world. And to finish it off, can you tell
Yeah.
us what's next for you and what's
Oh,
coming
great.
up?
So, well, I should say that as well as the words, the physical book, we've now recorded the audio book is up on Spotify. It'll soon be on Audible and all other platforms. So this is kind of an extraordinary thing. I mean, we've sort of got used to the idea you put something up on YouTube, it's just there. But in another way, it's really worth taking a moment going, this book is now recorded and available on every single phone in the entire world.
You got quite a bit of power though.
Yeah, I think that this, I think everyone should listen to this book,
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I
So
definitely will be. I love audiobooks.
this is kind of important. It's also interestingly, just today or yesterday, it actually had a world premiere at a film festival, Flickr's Rhode Island International
Congratulations.
Film Festival, as a podcast. So that's really cool as well. So
That's
actually, if
so
anyone wants
cool.
to go there, it's available for till the 10th, I think, for free.
Amazing.
Otherwise, be just on your Spotify or Audible, be up soon. So that's kind of happening, and I wanted to sort of emphasize that because I think that's a really new experience for me. I had a great time recording it with Jadzia Allen, was one of the other voices, and John Resk was the recordist, did an amazing job. Apart from that, well, physical TV company with my partners Karen Perlman and Samuel Lucas Allen, we have a whole bunch of films going around. So our latest film that Karen made, Breaking Plates, is touring around the world. With a program called Breaking Plates and Smashing the Patriarchy,
Nice.
which
Oh,
is a
yes.
wild film about reasserting the or agency and authority of women in cinema, and a
Oh, I'm
program that
so in for
explores that.
that.
Really cool. And that's winning awards and playing everywhere. And then Sam's latest film hasn't premiered yet, but I'm super excited about that. It's a really in-your-face drama about climate change called Misery and Other Choices.
Ooh.
So, look out for Breaking Plates and Breaking Plates and Smashing the Patriarchy and Misery and Other Choices, which hopefully will be picked up by some festivals soon. And new projects are in development with all of us. And I've got a new poetry book that I'm working on. So it just keeps going.
Amazing. Well, I may be interviewing you again then if that poetry
Well,
book
that
comes
would
out.
be Belinda for Belinda.
Amazing. Yes, I love that so much. Yeah, that's the end of it. Thanks so much, Richard. It was amazing to
My
talk
pleasure.
to you.
So nice to talk to you. Thank you for the
Yes,
time.
thank
Bye,
you.
everyone.
Bye.